From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio here on this Tuesday afternoon around 1 o'clock. Obviously, the big news today, Gunnar Hoglund out for the rest of the season. He has a UCL tear in his right elbow that will require surgery. That surgery will be May 18th, so 1 week from today. Dr. James Andrews out of Birmingham will be performing that procedure. So we'll talk a good bit about that, kind of what it means for Gunnar from a draft standpoint here in the first segment. In the second segment, Dr. Reeves Moore, a special orthopedic group here in Oxford, will join us. He's kind of a Tommy John specialist, one of his main areas of emphasis. We'll discuss timelines for Gunnar moving forward, potential ways that this surgery could happen depending on the severity, which I don't have completely confirmed, even though I think I know. As we move forward and more. So we'll talk to Dr. Reeves more about that here coming up in about 20 minutes or so on the Oxford Exxon Podcast. The Oxford Exxon's Highway 6 West in Oxford. The Blue Sky locations all throughout Mississippi. You can download the SpeedPass Plus app, use those, earn points, and save money there with all Blue Sky locations. Or here locally, get the lunch special. It's $5.69 for two sides, bread, 32-ounce drink, and more. So check them out this weekend on your way. Clean, convenient store when you're in town for Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. That number, call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. And the rest is up to you. You can shop it around, or you can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do. And that's get into a Clark Ford today. You'll love the product. You'll love the service. Corey and the people at Clark Ford want to be your car guy. They want to be your truck guy. People say, what does that mean? Call the number. You'll find out. 662-257-1900. Dr. Reeves Moore and other guests join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline, Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Be a great place this weekend if you're coming up for the Vanderbilt series, if you're just coming up to sort of enjoy a little, outing, whatever the case may be, stop by Rafters. Enjoy one of their burgers, their po' boys, great appetizers, full bar, great beer selection as well. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford and also in New Albany.
So official word comes down, I guess around an hour ago, something like that, with Gunnar Hoglund. Again, it was really expected from the beginning. It was, as we talked about last week, when you hear forearm discomfort, stiffness, whatever word, noun you would like to put on that, it typically does.
Our phone conversation, you said forearm stiffness. I said Tommy John.
Yeah, that's the main indicator there, where, again, there were three things it could be, but Tommy John was absolutely the most likely. As they move forward, had an MRI sometime late morning yesterday, and then announced that here about an hour ago. So obviously, we'll start with Gunnar, and I mean, just your mind, your thoughts are with him mainly, mm-hmm. because even though I don't think, and we'll talk about it as we move through the show, I don't think he's going to drop like a rock. Like, I know a lot of people keep asking that, but this isn't Tommy John from 10 years ago. This isn't even Tommy John from 3 years ago. It is becoming more commonplace. I think it was two drafts ago, more than half the pitchers taken in the first round had Tommy John at some point in their careers.
I could spin it, and it'd spin.
Sure.
I could pump sunshine in it, and I would feel bad about doing it because it would be pretty disingenuous, but it would have just enough morsel of truth.
Okay.
It's good to get it over with.
Because almost everybody has it at this point. I get it. Spin. I
mean, it's real spin, because here's why. Once you have it, and we'll talk to Dr. Moore about this, you got about 8 to 10 years on the clock. Tick, tick, tick. So you'd rather not have it till later. You'd rather have the Justin Verlander. Hey, you know what? I think I'm going to pitch into my mid to late 30s, win a couple of World Series, win some Cy Youngs. Then I'm going to have it. And then if I decide to come back for a cup of coffee at the end, I will. If not, I'll chase Kate around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Than have it at this age where it looms over you. Now he's got a realistically, he's not going to pitch in 2022. Can you believe we're that far along? You know, he's not realistic.
Well, no, because this is, we'll ask Dr. Moore this, yeah. But I know what he's going to say. This lengthens his timeline because, and this is not a shot at anyone, college teams bring back these kids faster than pro teams will. So you're talking closer to 18 months at the professional level before he begins to really get back into it full speed, whereas you're probably talking 12 to 14 months at the college level. So this is adding a pretty good bit of recovery to his surgery.
The good news for him is that they're not scared of Tommy John anymore. The pro teams have a very, very, very specific...
It's scientific.
Scientific clockwork. Yeah. And they won't rush him. He'll still go in the first round. He won't go as high in the first round. He'll go in the first round, though, and a team will go, hey, one of the first conversations they'll have with him is, we're not in a hurry.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good. We have a plan. And I'm sure the plan is to have him comfortable and ready to roll
the next year.
Late February of what I guess would be 2023.
Yeah. If we get something toward the end of 2022, great, but that's nowhere near. We don't care. It is what it is as this thing moves forward. Yeah, I pulled it up, and the 2021 draft is 20 rounds this year, and it's following 2019 draft pools and bonus values.
Okay.
Really quick refresher for anyone. In the top 10 rounds, every pick is assigned a value, a certain amount of money. Teams do not have to give that. However, the total of their top 10 picks is the amount of money they can spend in the top 10 rounds.
Yeah.
You can pay somebody over, but you got to pay the piper somewhere else to make up for it. There's some luxury tax stuff, but we're going to keep it really simple at the moment. I could become a very baseball nerd, but we won't do that right now. Point being,
you can give your first round guy a little bit more, but if you do, maybe that seventh round guy is going to get a
Snickers.
What
happens a lot is in the eighth, ninth, and tenth rounds, you see them taking college seniors who have no leverage and will take whatever they have to give them, and they'll pay them all about $10,000, and that gives them a pretty good bit of money to then throw at other guys earlier in the draft.
And a Snickers bar.
That's true, yeah. Because, it's funny. I'm not blaming anybody. Like, it's just me being a seam head, making fun of people a little bit in a very kind way. But you'll see it and go, oh, God, he went in the eighth round. That's awesome. And I went, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You'd rather go in the 12th. Rather go in the 12th because then they can, after the 12th, they can pay you up to $125,000 and it doesn't count against your pool. So that's better than the ninth round, actually. But anyway, so I've seen multiple mock drafts with Hoagland going going eighth overall. I think the Rockies have the eighth pick, if I have that correct. And the slot value for the eighth pick is $5.17 million for the eighth pick, 5176900, if you would like to be specific there. I asked a scout earlier today kind of what he thought as far as where he went, and his answer to me was 12 to 16. Teams just aren't scared of Tommy John's anymore. Recovery rate is so high. He does not think it affected his status much at all. I know there are a couple teams down toward the bottom of the first round that are kind of just hoping he falls to that point, but nobody really thinks
so
he will.
So for slot, what is 16?
$3.7 million.
What's 20?
$3.2 million.
And I can't imagine he'd fall any further than this at all, but 25?
$2.7 million. Okay. If he falls to 16, he will have lost $1.5 million-ish. $3.74 is what he would get. $5.1 is what he would have gotten in these mock,
right?
Whatever.
If everything went
so, it's a million plus injury, but it's not a devastating injury. And you know, like JT Ginn a couple years ago, he falls all the way to like 52 or something, but then they pay him $3 million anyway at the 52nd pick. So, I do think slot values are relevant here. I think that's something to kind of watch moving forward. But yeah, I just hate it for Gunner. I mean, obviously, because he went out there last Friday night. He's trying to pitch. He's trying to gut through it. He was trying to finish this season. Probably a pretty tough middle 48 hours for him here to be on the shelf for an athlete and a competitor.
Ginger has a great question, and it's a great question to talk about. And because the answer is there's really no way to know for sure. But the question is in the thread. She says, had Gunner not pitched last weekend at all, would it have made a difference? Or was the damage already done? Or is there no way to know? So it's a complicated question. It's a very good question.
In general, the damage was already done. Him pitching on Friday night did not determine whether he will one day need Tommy John surgery or that his arm in an MRI would show significant damage to affect his draft status. I think that's a fair way to put it.
The question that I have,
yeah,
that sort of dovetails off of Ginger's question, and Dr. Moore may or may not be able to answer this, and he may or may not want to answer this.
Yeah.
When he had the bicep soreness, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
And by the way, when I hear an athlete complain about bicep soreness, I think bicep pain. Okay?
Sure.
But anyway, had they done imaging there and seen that you had a problem, would this have been able to, if you stopped throwing at that point,
sure,
would you have been able to go a different course of action, maybe the platelet-rich
plasma?
Therapy. Would you have been able to try something different to perhaps prevent this from happening? Or was the damage at that point done to the point that you were already walking off a cliff? It was just how fast you were going to go. And I don't know that answer.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know, frankly, at this point, because nothing was done at that point, I don't know if there is an answer. You know what I mean? I don't know if anyone can 100% say one way or the other.
And Dr. Moore probably can't answer that question because they didn't do imaging at that point.
And he's so not his patient, obviously.
And so he doesn't know what it looked like.
Yeah, that's my
which
point.
To me remains the most confounding thing in all of this. Well, I have two confounding things. One confounding thing is, here's this ace pitcher who's projected eighth overall, so you know you're sitting on $5 million, and he complains about bicep soreness. Why? Why are you not? I'll never understand why at that moment. There's no explanation that's going to pass.
Because they essentially kept him shut down for give or take 10 days, and then once he had a bullpen that was okay, they brought him back, was essentially what they did.
Yeah.
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 I wasn't defending. I'm just
No, I know. I don't. Wouldn't you have wanted to know, with the emphasis on the word no? It's like the commercial with the don't you want to be certain? Mm-hmm. What's the difference? Yeah. Well, there's kind of a difference.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference between I don't think this mushroom's poisonous. I just that one blows my mind, and then the one that just completely is to me.
It's Friday night
when he complains of stiffness in my forearm. Well, let's go see if you can start. I got to be honest, Chase. Yeah, I can't get past that one.
No, that's to me even beyond the other one. That's the thing. It was a textbook circumstance to stop right there in the bullpen. Tell Derek to get loose, and then proceed with Derek starting that game on Friday night.
Yeah, I can't get past that one. And then I'm going to be honest. If I'm probably making enemies here. If I'm the parent of a pitching recruit, I got questions.
Yeah, and Taylor, you're right. His velocity was down in that last inning against Carolina. That was the thing. The velocity had fallen off. He was taken out at 73 pitches against South Carolina that Friday night, throwing a shutout.
Well, that raised a flag with you. This is what bothers me, okay? Yeah. Is that raised a flag with you, and you're not as intimately involved in it as the people who are there.
No.
And this is – I am absolutely talking about Mike and the training staff.
Yeah, sure.
That raised a question with you. Why did that not raise a flag with them? And if it did, why did you not act more aggressively on it?
And I asked Mike that night, hey, what's up there? That was kind of weird. And I don't remember the quote verbatim, but essentially he talked about his adrenaline running out, and that was that as it moved on. I know that's my point.
I know.
And it's where fans get annoyed, and I get it, but I can't make him answer me.
Right,
like,
no,
you
absolutely.
You can ask the question, and
Well, you asked the question about, hey, when you and I talked on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Because I didn't watch the game Friday night.
Right.
And so when you and I talked on Saturday morning and you walked me – because I called you that morning and I knew you were on the phone, and I called you again and you were on the phone and you said 5 minutes, and I'm like, yeah, call.
Yeah.
And when you call, I said, walk me through it.
Yeah.
Because I know at this point the journalism guy in me goes, okay, we're sitting on a story. This is what we're going to be talking about. So guide me through it. And you take me through it, and I said, wait, hold up. He had pregame stiffness and threw anyway?
Mm-hmm.
He got a pitcher. He got Diamond up on the second hitter, so he saw something with the first hitter. And that's when you go out and and at this point, look, the damage is done. It doesn't matter. But from a look stand, it's a terrible look. Anybody that wants to argue that it's not a bad look, I'll be happy to have that debate with you. But I think you're spinning at that point. Oh. And it just makes you wonder about what do you. I know there's pressure to win. I get it. I know you're competitive people. That's what you do. But this isn't the fifth-year senior who says to the coach, hey, look, I'm not pitching professionally.
Yeah.
I'm going to go sell cars or I'm going to go be a podcaster to make fun of me.
Yeah, throw just, it out. It's going to be all right.
If I snap it, I snap it.
Yeah.
Give me the ball. I don't have a problem with that. That kid, go for it.
Yeah, Texas did that with that kid one time, that senior, threw like 13 innings in a regional.
And he would be the first to tell you, this is the end. I want to do it. If you give me the ball, I'm going to go. I'm never going to throw one of these things again unless it's to toss it to my little kid.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get on a mound and throw velocity ever again. So let's have it.
No, it's bad. And here's the thing, too. But partly because of the pandemic and partly because of schedule and partly because Ole Miss not offering it, we have no media until tomorrow night. Ole Miss plays Little Rock tomorrow. It was moved to 4 o'clock tomorrow from 6:30 tonight. And, I mean, I told Neil, I wonder a little bit if it's for reasons to some extent on giving another day before media. I'm not criticizing. I'm not accusing. But it does kind of cross my mind as we're going through this.
I'm pulling up the weather, hourly weather forecast because I'm
– Well, it was bad. As of yesterday when they moved the game, the forecast for this afternoon was pretty rough.
Well, and it is at 6 o'clock, 53%. Yeah. At 7 o'clock, it's 81%.
I completely get it. I just
– But y'all could have had a Zoom call.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I don't know. It's – There are times when our beat, like any other beat, is super soft and we get a little resigned. Like some of the late Lane Kiffin calls in spring, we'd given up. If you just want to know the truth, I mean, you can ask 400 personnel questions, and when you get no answer, after a while, you're like, okay, he's not going to answer it. I'm not going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, you specifically have asked some questions. Richard Cross yesterday asked some questions.
Yeah, quickly for that, Richard... For, and I don't mean this negatively, but Neil knows what I mean. This is a weekly radio hit to fill some airtime with the three main SEC or the three Mississippi baseball coaches. It's typically not a hard-hitting situation. Richard asked very pointed questions in an environment that frankly is not typically the situation there. So I thought that was interesting. But I don't know. Anyway. We'll talk to Dr. Reeves more about it here in 1 second. Before that, I'll tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing's done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, the leader in condo financing, the float-down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Sorry, man. Computer's going crazy. Apologize. Join Coach Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels in the Vault this season. Season ticket packages start at $199. Can be purchased by visiting OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. Ole Miss baseball back at Swayze Friday through Sunday. They host Vanderbilt. Tickets remain and can be purchased by visiting OleMissTix.com. We're also brought to you by Lamons Fine Jewelry. Lamons at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. Serving the Oxford area for more than 73 years. They've got everything you could be looking for, all the way from engagement rings to collectibles and everything in between. It's the gold standard in fine jewelry. Visit them at lamonsfinejewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. We are brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air is the name you can trust. Brings more than 50 years of professional HVAC experience. See if he's cool with FaceTime audio. Is that all right?
I'm sure it is.
Okay. Brings more than 50 years of professional HVAC experience to Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. You want to make sure that air conditioning unit is in tip-top shape. So get in touch with the people at Comer, 662-801-1777. Also brought to you by the College Corner. It's your one-stop Rebel shop. Two locations in the Jackson area. One in Ridgeland, one in Flowood. You can also check them out at collegecornerstore.com. So whether you're tailgating in Oxford or home gating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day, the largest selection of Rebel gear in Central Mississippi. And we're brought to you by Pinnacle Trust, which is home to the Pinnacle Trust 401k Advisory Services Team. Get in touch with them and they'll conduct a complimentary no-obligation benchmarking and analysis of your current 401k plan. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the Oxford Exxon podcast. You get 10% off your first year's fees. And we're brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you're traveling this summer, if you're planning something for the holidays already, which will be here before you know it, get in touch with John, give him some parameters, give him a budget, and he will give you options and know you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
Give us 1 second. We'll,
yeah, you sent me the numbers. Got it.
Yep.
This is where we need, like, dialing music, you know? We need, like, some cool little stuff.
Elevator music, even. Just
yeah,
anything
just something to kind of set the mood, you know?
Hello.
Dr. Reeves Moore joining us here on the Raptors Music and Food Hotline. Thanks for giving us a little time today. It's kind of a bad thing all around. I mean, I like talking to you, but I didn't know we were going to be doing this every week about some baseball injuries.
Yeah, this is good, but it's too often.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, big one here, and I know Tommy John, one of your specialties, something that you've studied a lot, you put a lot of effort in over the course of your career, and it's a question I keep getting, and I can answer it, but you can answer it a whole lot better than I can. What is sort of Gunner's prognosis? I mean, this thing has moved and advanced so far in the last few years. It seems like major league teams are not very scared of it, and it seems like the prognosis is even much better than it was a decade ago.
Yeah, the recovery on or after Tommy John surgery is you know, we've almost got it down to an art now for the most part. I mean, you know, the standard reconstructions are typically around kind of 92-93% return to play, same level or higher, you know, typically within about 12 to 18 months. Usually a little bit longer on the 18-month side in the pro guys just because they're not at a rush or kind of a time crunch to get back. There are some newer techniques that we did a lot of in Birmingham, actually, with the UCL repair with this kind of heavy suture tape augmentation for specific UCL injuries. Not everybody is kind of a candidate for that. But in those scenarios, you can actually get guys back to, you know, in competitive situations, pitching off a mound in about 6 months. So, you know, it's certainly a good prognosis in terms of returning to play. And, you know, obviously Major League Baseball is aware of that and the outcomes of Tommy John surgeries. And I'm just kind of looking at the draft picks from a couple of years ago, which kind of coincided to kind of the first year or couple of years of, you know, kind of the kids playing year-round baseball. I think about half of the pitchers taking the first round had some sort of Tommy John surgery at that time. So if that gives you kind of any inclination that, you know, the pro guys are certainly not scared of athletes having undergone that procedure.
Does it make him more or less likely to have it again? Does it change the prognosis for further elbow injuries at any point in his career? What do we kind of know about that as he moves forward?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that go into why somebody has a ulnar collateral ligament injury or tear, you know, and it really kind of starts with the shoulder. And, you know, having worked around a lot of, you know, pro teams and minor league teams, you know, one thing that they preach is shoulder flexibility and shoulder range of motion. And as especially developing arms come up through the ranks, the natural progression of them is to get a tight shoulder. And that's why, you know, I see this every day in my office and talk to patients and counsel parents and patients about shoulder tightness. Because if you end up getting a tight shoulder, you start to lead with the elbow and in your throwing motion. And that can lead to increased stress across the ulnar collateral ligament and develop tears and those kind of things. So it's, you know, there's also a mechanics aspect of it. So it's really kind of a multifactorial thing. There's also some, you know, how some guys are just form, you know, the long, lanky guys. They're tall and can really generate a lot of force through the elbow. They're kind of more prone to it, especially the young, big guys that throw really hard. You need to really kind of watch those kids because they're they're probably more prone to these types of things. So to answer your question, it's really kind of a multifactorial thing, and you really got to have your finger on the pulse of all those types of things when you're watching youth baseball players and as they grow up into, you know, college baseball players and pro players.
Hey, Dr. Moore, Neil McCready, how are you? Appreciate you being with us. It's a question that I know it sounds like I'm playing the blame game, and to be honest, I guess to some degree I sort of am, but I'm also trying to educate myself a little bit here. Gunnar had that bicep issue a few weeks ago. Had imaging been done then, what would it likely have shown, hey, this was inevitable at this point, or could something have been done at that point that maybe would have prevented the necessity for UCL surgery?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the exact ins and outs of it, but you know, I think if an MRI had been done at that point, I don't think it changes, you know, the conversation that we're having today.
Okay.
I think at that point, kind of the horse is out of the stable, so to speak, just because he's got a point where he's got his shoulder, his elbow irritated. And is that because of the UCL injury? You know, who knows? But I think if you had had an MRI at that point, I don't think it necessarily changes what we're talking about at this point.
I've heard some things, but I don't know what grade tear this is. I'm assuming, am I right on this, that since he didn't have the big pop and he was coming out during the game, does that make it less likely that it was the most severe all the way through tear? Or is there more that goes into that and that could still be the case?
And then to follow up on that, and to add to it, I should say, does it even matter in terms of the type of procedure that is done?
Yeah, so not necessarily. You know, there are people that have that kind of sentinel moment where they throw a pitch and they feel a pop and they have that numbness and tingling in the ring and small finger, and you get them all asking, they've got kind of an indivulsion type of tear, which is what you typically see in those types of scenarios. And then there are guys that, you know, just kind of have this vague, non-specific type of elbow tightness, soreness, pain. They lose their velocity, or you start to see a kind of a slow trend in their velocity decreasing. You start to see their accuracy starting to fade away. And just kind of general complaints that, you know, should put your antenna up in terms of, all right, something's not right here. And I think we need to start doing some more digging, whether that's, you know, resting them or getting advanced imaging such as an MRI scan to take a look at that.
You did you worked with James Andrews in Birmingham. You've been in that practice, seen how that operates. Do a lot of teams use him this closely? I mean, how does that sort of process work? They read the MRI locally, then send it over there, and he reads it, and you make a determination. I mean, what is sort of the co-op nature of that?
Yeah, it's kind of team to team, and depending on who the team docs are, some team docs do this type of surgery, some don't. And in those scenarios, typically, you know, there are about three big centers across the country that do a high volume of Tommy John surgery. One is Andrews in Birmingham. Two is Andrews's practice in Gulf Breeze or Pensacola. And the third one's Colin Jobe out in Los Angeles. So, you know, certainly if the team doctor is comfortable with Tommy John surgery, then they typically do it. If not, then that's something that they will, you know, they likely have a relationship with Dr. Andrews and will call him and kind of get him up to speed, as long as, you know, the patient, the coach, and the trainer, everybody kind of signs off on that kind of thing. And then he just kind of takes it from there. I mean, Dr. Andrews is you know, he's very available and wants to help out. And, you know, he's got a tie with Ole Miss. His daughters went to Ole Miss. So he's certainly no stranger to Oxford and Ole Miss athletics, and is willing to help out at any time, really.
Does this mean that, and maybe you don't know, but does this mean he will operate, or does this mean just his practice there in Birmingham will operate on Gunnar?
No, he'll do the surgery himself.
Okay.
Especially in these higher profile guys, he'll do the surgery himself.
you mentioned
you couldn't get Andrews, Chase. You weren't.
I did not get Andrews. No, that's true. I did not pull that off.
Soft tossing left-handers from Hatley don't get that surgery from him. It just doesn't work.
So you mentioned this beforehand. What does determine which procedure they do? I mean, it came out of my wrist. I know they've used hamstrings or something in the leg. They used cadavers before. What dictates kind of how they go about that?
Yeah, so there's kind of a witch's brew, so to speak, in terms of what type of tear is it. We've kind of discussed that already in terms of grade 1, 2, and 3 type of UCL tears. One being just kind of a stretch of the ligament, so there's some laxity in it. It's not necessarily torn, but there's some. It's incompetent, I would say. Grade 2 would insinuate a grade 1 plus a probable partial thickness tear, which is a lower grade injury, obviously, than a full thickness tear, which would be a grade 3. And even among the grade 3 injuries, which are complete tears, there are different things you look for. You look for, well, did you pop it off the bone where it attaches or the ligament starts? Is it a mid-substance or an intra-substance tear? And so these are all, what is the quality of the ligament tissue look like on the MRI scan? Is it robust and thick, which you would typically see in kind of your younger players, such as high school and kind of early college guys? Or is it kind of chronic, diminutive, attritional type of tissue that kind of looks maybe thinner than normal, which is what you're typically going to see in kind of your high level, probably guys like Gunner that are, about to be drafted, or your pro guys that have been throwing for a long time. So those are certainly things you look at. You also look at, is there any bony involvement? So a lot of these guys that pitch for a long time like this, they'll have some little bone spurs at the origin or the insertion of the tendon, which plays into your decision-making process. So, but to break it down really simply, if they have a partial tear or kind of what we call an indivulsion, where the ligament's overall intact, but it's just kind of popped off the bone where it inserts, typically you can repair that, and that's kind of a newer procedure that's kind of really gained a lot of traction in the last several years, and something that Dr. Dugas, who is over at Andrews in Birmingham, really kind of pioneered this repair with internal brace augmentation, where basically you repair the native ligament back down and then you kind of reinforce it with this heavy suture tape, and that allows kind of a return, quicker return to play, which we've shown. And I've written a couple of papers on this with him. He's shown about 6 month return to play back to competition level pitching in baseball. So that's kind of the lower grade type of injuries, in acute kind of injuries. So basically the indivulsions or the partial thickness tears. And then kind of the more chronic or attritional type of tears or injuries where you've got poor tissue quality. That's just not something that you can really repair because they don't have anything to really repair. There's nothing there for the most part because they've just kind of been exposed to this elbow stress for a long, long time, and the ligament's just kind of given out. And at that point, then the reconstruction is the way to go. And that typically how we do that is either your palmaris tendon, which is a tendon in your wrist, which is what you had, Chase, or a hamstring tendon out of your leg. It's a little bit bigger, a little bit more robust. So in the scenario that we previously discussed about, if they do have some bone formation at the ligament insertion and you kind of have to shell that bone out, then you're basically dealing with some tissue deficiency and you've got to fill that back in with a bigger graft. So typically you'll use a hamstring graft in that scenario. In the return to play on a Tommy John reconstruction, typically for your high school, college guys, it's about a year. In pro guys, it's a little bit longer, like I said, just because, there's not a rush to get back. The Major League Baseball staffs want to make sure that they're ready to go when they come back. So return to play for pro guys is typically a little bit longer, probably closer to 18 months after reconstruction.
It's just the caution. I mean, in theory, a Major League guy, if he had the right thing you're talking about there with the suture tape and whatnot, could potentially come back in like 6-8 months?
Absolutely.
Okay. Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that kind of blew me away. I don't want to talk about Gunner specifically, even though this kind of fits him. But just in general, I know sometimes high school kids, when they're drafted, even college kids, get docked with something that happened in their physical, even though it's not time for a surgery. When that happens, what are doctors' teams seeing? I mean, you know, like I know Ty Hensley was one at Ole Miss where they don't get the signing bonus or they fall for some medicals. What are the MRIs showing, even though they're not necessarily ready for a surgery or nothing has blown up at that point?
Well, you know,
that's so general. I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, there are certainly other things on the MRI scan. Are you saying, you know, if they have an MRI of their elbow, what are things that can basically drop their stock?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they have some kind of UCL tear. You know, that can certainly do that, whether it's a low grade or, you know, a partial tear or a full thickness tear, obviously. And some people can throw with a full thickness tear, believe it or not. And that's typically because the UCL ligament doesn't really get stressed until you start throwing about 75 or 80% of your max effort.
Right.
And so some people can kind of modify how they pitch and change speeds and change arm slots and moving in and out, up and down, and kind of get by with it, realistically. And then there are some things, you know, not getting too often in the weeds about medical stuff, but there are some other things in the back of the elbow that you can see in terms of, you know, bone spurring and kind of some arthritic type of changes in the elbow that an elbow that is thrown a lot at a high stress would typically start to develop. And that's usually because you have some laxity and wear of that ulnar collateral ligament. Even though it may be intact on the MRI scan, it's been attenuated or stressed for so long, you start your body tries to compensate for that actually by making some bone in some different places to try to add some stability to their elbow. So there are certainly some very subtle things that we look for in MRI scans that the guys that take care of a lot of baseball players look for, that could certainly, you know, potentially drop their draft stock a little bit. And ultimately it just kind of leads to, you know, negotiating leverage on contracts.
Sports medicine, sports surgery, that kind of thing. Is that what you always wanted to do when you were a kid? When did this click and, hey, this is what I want to do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've kind of got the cliche story. You know, I never had an ACL injury or something like that, but I grew up playing sports. I grew up playing baseball. Baseball was my sport. And I had a couple opportunities to go play at some smaller schools, but ultimately ended up coming to Ole Miss and just being a normal college student. You know, I like fixing things. I like tinkering. And going to med school and seeing the orthopedic side of stuff, I knew I wanted to do orthopedics. And then from there, you kind of figure out what you want to do, whether that's joint replacements or spine surgery or sports medicine. And just growing up in athletic environments and being around, you know, clubhouses and locker rooms and those kind of things, that was just kind of my natural progression to start going that way.
I'm curious, you were – at least involved with Tua Tagovailoa's surgery, his recovery. When you see him back on the field now in an NFL uniform, is that I would assume that's a really rewarding feeling that comes over you. Is it satisfying? Or what is just when you watch a guy and you know what all was involved and how close maybe he was to this being a career ending thing, something that cost him his dream, in his case, to play quarterback in the NFL, and you see him out there performing, what's kind of that emotion like for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, really, you're just happy for the athlete. I mean, you know, the work and the obstacles that they've been faced with and the work they put in to kind of go through that adversity and get back to the level of play that Tua was able to get back to, still get drafted, you know, play well in the NFL, relatively speaking, as young of a quarterback as he is. And just getting to know the athletes on a personal level, you know, when I went and checked on him in the hospital, you know, he put his phone down, he talked to you like what we would call a normal adult, so to speak, you know, with a lot of kids these days, you know, playing on the phone all the time. That's not always the case. He was just a very down-to-earth guy, head on his shoulders really well. It's certainly gratifying to see them and really for the athlete standpoint, not necessarily of anything I did. You know, I was there and helped with some of those surgeries and it was in, but, uh, but it's really gratifying to see them reach their goals. And that, and that's what it's all about, in being involved in sports medicine and doing the things that, that we do.
If something goes wrong on the field there with him, or even if it's, how many years ago is his career not what it is today?
Talking about Tua?
Yeah, with Tua. I mean, like, what, you know, when did medicine get to the point that that could be what it is now with him and that injury? And then, I mean, I would assume right there is that thing's happening. If that thing's not taken care of pretty quickly on the field, it could turn weird quickly.
Yeah, I mean, he had a similar injury to what Bo Jackson had.
Yeah.
And, you know, with, you know, Bo Jackson's hip just kind of auto-reduced on its own, and so there was kind of a delay in figuring out what happened with him. With Tua, that didn't happen.
Can I interrupt you for just a moment, Dr. Reeves? I mean, Dr. Moore, because this is the role that I play very, very well in my career. Is I can be the village idiot, and because I'm clearly, my IQ is about 1/100th of yours. When you say auto reduced, can you kind of put that in layman's terms so that I can understand it?
It popped back in on its own.
Okay.
Oh.
So it the hip dislocates, and then instead of it being stuck out of socket and having to be manually pulled back into place, it comes out and it comes back in on its own. That's what I mean by auto-reduce.
So with Bo Jackson, the people on – because he went back into the game, I think. Or the people thought his wasn't as severe as it turns out that it was?
Correct.
So with Tua there, it's not pop back in, it's not auto-reduced. What's the timetable like in that moment? I mean, there's not panic because you're trained to not panic, but you realize at that moment, right, that the clock's sort of ticking?
Yeah. There is certainly a sense of urgency in that situation. And, you know, he was reduced basically in the x-ray room in the tunnel at Mississippi State. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, you just got to do what you got to do to try to preserve the hip and get it back in as quickly as possible, because you know that the longer it's out, the more damage that can be done from a blood supply standpoint to the hip, to the femoral head or the ball part of the hip. And so, yeah, you certainly, there is a sense of urgency in that situation that you know you got to do something.
I'm assuming that goes back in the way that I think it goes back in. I mean, you physically have to pop it back in.
Yeah, there's a certain technique involved in getting hips back in the socket that involve various, you know, in directions and how you pull, and, you know, need some counter pressure and those kind of things that you learn kind of throughout the years through your orthopedic surgery training, just because you see a lot of them. And a lot of them you see in the trauma centers and high energy situations such as bad car wrecks and those kind of things. So it's something that's not – that you never see from our standpoint, from a training aspect, but once you get out into practice, you certainly don't see it like you used to in your residency programs and training.
Yeah. Wow.
I could ask 1,000 questions. That's really you're what you do is fascinating, and I'm glad that people like you are out there to do it too, because in that moment, I mean, there's no time to experiment. You got to get it right.
Well, appreciate the time, Dr. Moore. I know you were kind of in the middle of your work day there, and hopefully we won't discuss any more Ole Miss injuries in the next few weeks. But if something does happen, love to get you back on, and hope you have a good day.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Y'all too.
Thanks, Dr. Moore.
This is Reeves Moore with Special Orthopedic Group here locally in Oxford. Again, he a lot of experience, University of Alabama, University of Tennessee. Doctor with the Memphis Redbirds, as well as the fellowship with the Andrews Clinic there in Birmingham. So appreciate his time today, and we'll
do you like to just be reminded sometimes, just in raw sort of tangible form that.
Yeah, like, because I feel like my vocabulary is pretty good, and a couple times I went, yeah, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Your brain's not as good as his brain.
Oh man, that's kind of offensive.
I'm just being real.
I'm told we're all the same sometimes.
No.
You don't think so?
Nope. See, yeah, DK Metcalf to remind you that your body is nowhere close to as good as his, and now we have Dr. Moore to remind us that our brain's not as good as his. We're just inferior. That's why we're sitting here on a podcast.
Yeah. So anyway, now that we've been educated and shown how dumb we are, I'll tell you about Northeast Spark, NESPARC.com, 662-238-3159. Phone service is available, as well as parental controls, network security, and more. You get the 1 gig package, the 100 Mbps as well. So whichever speed needed for you, both very fast and reliable there with Northeast Spark. So find out at your area. Again, going in more places every day all over the county now. 662-238-3159.
We're also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB, home to Casasa. It's the absolute best cash checking account. It comes with 2.5% interest on balances up to $50,000, and ATM fees are refunded nationwide. Excuse me, OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Bain, Moss & Bowen, located in historic downtown Corinth, Mississippi. Their firm practices a wider range of law, from DUI defense to car wrecks to representing government entities. Bain, Moss & Bowen's the only firm in Mississippi made up of a sitting state legislator, a former assistant district attorney, and a former circuit court judge. Their experience is unmatched in that regard, and you can tap into it by visiting them at 618 East Waldron Street in Corinth, or by calling them at 662-287-1620. And we're brought to you by Alpha Specialties, located at 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. Alpha is your trailer-specific professionals. If you want to haul it, they can call it. They're the premium trailer dealership in Mississippi. They've got Hallmark cargo trailers, one of the most quality cargo trailers on the market today. It's perfect for hauling goods to markets and shows, ATVs to deer camps, hauling race cars, and more. They can even work with third parties to have game day trailers and concession trailers built just for you. And they have, for podcast listeners, they have spare tires and wheels starting at just $100. And they also have 10% off a yearly trailer service and inspection at Alpha's full service shop. Give them a call, 601-932-9798, or check them out at alphaofms.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com. Go to the events page. See what all's going on locally this week and every week. The Double Decker Bus Tours back 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock this weekend because Vanderbilt baseball is this weekend. All SEC home weekends, as well as graduations for that. You can reserve times through the Visit Oxford website or by giving them a call. Again, 3 and 4 o'clock Friday for that. Also, they have the bike race. They got a car show this weekend and more. So even though main parts of the spring edition of the pop-up are over, still some other things going on in town locally this weekend if you are in town again for Ole Miss and Vanderbilt baseball. So thanks to Dr. Moore for that time there. Got educated, lots of interesting stuff. Like I said, I could probably ask Tua questions for like 25 minutes and just go on and on and on and on and on.
Tua Bo Jackson thing was fascinating because so many people that day said he just suffered the Bo Jackson injury, and you go, oh my God, so his career's over.
Mm-hmm. But it's been 30 years.
It's 30 years, and there were mistakes made mm-hmm. on the field that day in Los Angeles with Bo that weren't made that day field in Starkville.
Yeah. Alert.
Carson has done something to program my computer.
Is it only like Cubs stuff, though?
I don't think so.
Are you getting like a lot of stuff?
I don't know. Today's the first day this has happened, so.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have any idea what has happened. The 14-year-old is much more technologically advanced than.
I do love his how dad. ESPN has its priorities set because Kenny Mayne, who's been incredible for a long time at ESPN, he's out for salary cap reasons, but Chris Berman got a new 4-year deal, so. I mean, really, really set up there at ESPN as they move forward.
Something tells me Kenny Mayne will land on his feet.
I have a hunch he'll find a home.
I don't get the Berman thing other than just a debt of obligation since he was there from the beginning. Taylor Zarzer knows Chris Berman really well and raves about him. So I'm going to take Taylor's.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy.
I'm going to take Taylor's.
I'm saying the way he is on television does not appeal to me. Let's put it that way.
Agreed.
And just show me the highlight or whatever you're doing. Nobody watches highlight shows anymore, though. Because I know everybody goes, hey, just give me the highlights. But you don't really want that. Like, SportsCenter can't be an hour highlight show.
Well, like, Carson comes down in the morning, and Carson's not a morning person.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sits and has his breakfast and watches what appear to be highlights, but I don't know where he gets them.
But he's getting them on his phone a very specific thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know how this was. I mean, you and I both dealt with this growing up to some extent, is if I miss the Braves highlights at 7:08, I don't get the Braves highlights again until 8:08.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, if I catch SportsCenter at 5:30, well, I've got to watch until 6:30 to catch the other side of it.
Right.
I mean, I can't.
No.
It is. I mean, I can see the score on the ticker.
Right.
But that's all I got.
But if you want to see the home run.
Yeah.
You got to wait an hour.
And that was a big deal as a kid.
Sure.
Hey, the Braves win the World Series in 95. I'm 12. Like, hey, we're turning on SportsCenter at the beginning and we're going through this thing for the special 90-minute edition. You know, now SportsCenter at night is great because of Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah.
Because Scott Van Pelt is really freaking good.
Right.
I mean, maybe the best there is. So,
yeah,
that's why that's good. Not because, well, you know, this format really works.
I would ask Carson, hey, what are you watching? But the answer would be, ugh.
You don't get a lot?
No, that's about it. You might get a two-syllable guttural sound.
I did see that Colt Brennan died. I don't know what happened there.
I don't know. I saw that today. 37, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I would have thought maybe a touch younger than that, but okay, yeah, somewhere in there. Because I thought he was after I would have been done. Maybe not.
I could be wrong.
No, you're right, probably. Played Alabama in 06 in the opener, and then they played Georgia in the Sugar Bowl his last game, right? Isn't that right?
I don't know.
Okay, I think that's right. So
you're asking me something that happened 14 years ago. There's a 0% chance.
You can't get that?
I mean, unless I was super interested.
You can't even do, like, what you had for lunch last Tuesday. Like,
oh, God, no. I mean, I could guess.
Okay. I see that press tour for Bob Baffert didn't necessarily work. It appears that there was a steroid involved with the horse.
Well, it turns out, you meant the ointment.
Well, mistake. He was treated with an antifungal ointment containing the steroid something that caused the horse to fail a post-race drug test, Baffert said on Tuesday. Treated for dermatitis once a day leading up to the May 1st race. Pharmacology experts have told him this could explain the test results. Said the horse tested positive for 21 picograms of the substance, which is typically given to horses therapeutically to help their joints and is a violation even at a trace amount on race day in Kentucky. Regardless of the reason, he's disqualified from the Derby. If a second round of testing shows the presence of this, the runner-up, Mandalone something, would be elevated to winner.
He is so excited, by the way. Mandalone is strutting around the paddocks going, hey, I'm one-third of the way to the Triple Crown right now.
But does that really increase stud fees? You didn't win.
History will say he won. Mandalone is saying,
that doesn't mean stud fees say he won.
Mandalone's like, look, if he didn't have the cream,
where's my statue next to Barbaro or whatever, like, over there?
Where are my roses?
Posthumously, of course.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's like, you know, Mandalone dreamed his entire life. And he's been robbed, really. If you think about this from his standpoint, every day he trained, he thought about that little backstretch trot back down to the winner's circle at Churchill Downs.
Mm-hmm.
And he earned it and had it taken away by a cheating horse.
I intend to continue to investigate, and I will continue to be transparent. In the meantime, I want to reiterate two points I made when this matter initially came to light. First, I had no knowledge, of course, that this could have possibly found its way into Medina Spirit. And until now, it was in parentheses, which I love. And this has been a case of attempting to game the system or get an unfair advantage. Second, horse racing must address its regulatory problem when it comes to substances which can innocuously find their way into a horse's system at the picogram, which is a trillionth of a gram level. Medina Spirit earned his Kentucky Derby win, and my pharmacologist told me that 21 picograms would have absolutely no effect on the outcome of the race. Medina Spirit is a deserved champion, and I will continue to fight for him. I mean, I do have to give Bob Baffert this. I mean,
he's gonna fight for the horse.
At no point.
That horse is devastated
right
now.
He's always had a reason for everything. I mean, Baffert, that son of a gun. I mean, seriously. If he gets bored one day, PR is waiting because that he's blamed 10 different things, and now, hey, well, that bad, no matter. It didn't matter anyway. What difference does it make?
Has anyone checked on Medina Spirit just to see
how his spirit is?
Yeah, how's he doing? I mean, this is – can you imagine?
Disgraced.
I mean, you had something just – turns out you didn't – or it was taken away from you. You got caught. It's
the
over.
The Brady Anderson of horse racing.
He is the Brady Anderson of horse racing. No matter what he does from here on out, he'll always be viewed as this way. Like every home run that Barry Bonds hit, we now go back and go, so what? Big deal.
Sammy does make a good point. Once the race was declared official, all bets are paid. Anything afterwards is relevant for bettors. So
everyone's skipping this is about the horse. This isn't about people and their money. This is about feelings with the horse. This horse, his legacy is ruined.
It would absolutely count as a triple crown if Mandolin wins the Preakness and the Belmont. Yes. As long as this holds up.
Damn right.
Okay, here's my question. Are they just now doing the second test to check for the substance? So could it have gone away by the time?
I don't know.
I mean, because that could be part of this. Baffert's like, I'm just going to stall this bunch out for a couple of days, and hey, we're going to.
That's a good question. Does it fade out of the blood?
Can you do like Latimer in the program and run some clean urine through a horse for the test? Can we?
Oh, yeah. Could you cycling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Baffert's got the money.
That's what Olympic athletes were accused of doing, right? It was Lance Armstrong was like blood doping, yeah. Right? He would run the blood through a thing.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, Baffert's blaming vets. He said that he had no idea what was in it, that the vets contaminated the horse.
I mean, it's possible that Medina Spirit at the vet said, hey, Doc, I just need a little extra.
Make sure.
Just give me just a little of that cream.
I'm
right here on the hoof. Just give me a little something, something.
It was a big baseball, the cream and the clear.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And then, McGuire and those guys.
Uh-huh. And Armstrong.
Yeah.
Blood doped.
Well, those baseball guys were quite a brash. They just leave it in their lockers. Like, there's pictures where it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Man,
the Androstene Dion was in McGuire's locker in St. Louis that year. That's what got the story started.
Yeah.
Because the reporter looked at it and was like, what is that? And started searching. Damn reporters.
Don't be stupid.
Look, nobody ever accused either Mark McGuire or Sammy Sosa of being Mensa.
Okay, that's fair. I guess the last part for today of the Gunnar Hoglund news is what does Ole Miss do from here? I have no reason to believe that Derek Diamond will not pitch on Friday night against Vanderbilt. I assume it will be a Diamond, Nikhazy, McDaniel rotation. I guess it's theoretically possible that Mike moves Nikhazy back into the opening night role, but to me that makes no sense. I'll leave Doug Nikhazy where he is, especially for the postseason, but even for the regular season, it still doesn't make a hill of difference to me as far as trying to move him back into a spot. Derek seems mentally fine handling that night. So
they're back in the underdog role, that's for sure. No one's expecting anything now.
I mean, no, they're a team that, I mean, they've lost their best hitter, except for pinch hit roles. They're at least top prospect from a pitching standpoint, and they're number two reliever at this point.
Yeah.
Max Chovy has been out since week one. He had surgery, I believe, with Dr. Andrews 3.5 weeks ago, something along those lines.
What would you name your horse if you were?
I saw the question.
You were a thoroughbred owner. I'm trying to think what I would name mine.
I did kind of laugh. I don't typically give him credit, but 40 wrote something on like the worst 40 horse racing names in Derby history, and there was some really bad names in there. Yeah. It was some stuff. Like a couple of them were named like Eternal Defeat or something. It's like, what are you doing? You give the dude no chance.
I mean, well, that's just, what message does that send to the horse?
Yeah, I mean.
When the horse says, hey, what'd you name me? Eternal Defeat. I mean, he kind of puts his head down like, so you don't believe in me.
I mean, even Secretariat would have a hard time overcoming that.
This is one of the reasons I think Medina Spirit deserves a break here. I really do.
He was sold for $1,000. Can you imagine what a blow to his ego that was? I mean, when he gets loaded up into the paddock, he goes, how much did they get for me? $1,000. Isn't that the minimum?
In his mind, he's like, I ain't got to.
Yeah, he's like, come on. I'm never going to do anything big. And then all of a sudden, here he is. He knows he's going to go to the Kentucky Derby, and he's at the vet, and he looks over there on the side, and the vet's got some of that cream. You know he thinks, hey, Doc, I get it. I totally get why Medina Spirit would be like, hey, give me just a little bit of that. And then okay. Baffert knows this is a horse that has been, since childhood, has been treated this way. And he just doesn't want to, I mean, he wants to defend the horse.
Here's the question, though. And maybe Sammy has an answer here. He's our horse racing specialist. Baffert knows if he wins, he's getting caught. Are you expecting to, A, get away with it, or are you expecting to just not win and then it doesn't matter as much, but you still collect some better stud fees or some better whatever? In some ways, was winning the problem here?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because if you just move up from sixth to third, okay. Or did he just think he was gaming the system and getting away with it? I know nothing about horse racing.
Do they check, what's the one that went Mandolin Rain?
Mandolin, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Did he get his blood checked for finishing second?
I don't know. What if they're all just cheating?
Well, that's my next question. So if he's the winner, does he have to have his blood checked? I mean, is it possible that he's like having a, oh my God, moment? They're coming for me now.
Well, yeah, he has to now, sure. Probably did anyway. Third test too, Georgia says. Okay, so would have to miss the podium.
So they did check the second guy. Yeah. So he's clear.
Yeah, I remember, Sammy, you did check on Neil and Chase being available as for a horse's name. That is legal, technically.
He thought he'd get away with it, Doors Rules said. I don't know if he's referring to Baffert or the horse.
I think Baffert. Oat bag.
Wouldn't that be a good name for a horse? Calling the Tom Brady of horses.
What's your horse, Tom Brady?
This is Tom Brady. That some bitch is winning somehow, some way.
Said Baffert had a horse finish third in the Kentucky Oaks last year, and they found something in her as well.
So. Well, is it possible?
It's the vet's fault. It's using the same vet, trusted that guy.
Well, maybe the horses, as soon as everybody leaves, the horses have a party with this stuff.
That's it.
Passing it around.
Can't trust them.
How do you know what the horses do when everybody's gone?
Makes the Preakness pretty anticlimactic. Because now you're rooting against the second horse. I don't need a triple crown where the guy loses the Derby.
Oh, I do.
Oh, you want the chaos now.
Mandolin?
Yeah.
Oh, I want him to win by like 10 lengths.
So you want a triple crown where the horse doesn't win the Derby?
Yes.
Just for the...
No. What I want now is I want... our boy, the horse that just got
DQ'd?
Yeah, Brady Anderson. Medina Spirit. I want Medina Spirit to win the Preakness now.
Well, see, I think he's going to get disqualified. I don't think they're going to let him race.
Well, that's unfair to the horse.
I'm just telling you.
That's...
Because Baffert said he wasn't going to attend, but I think they're waiting on test results to decide whether he's allowed to even race the Preakness.
So will you put the horse on suicide watch? I mean, you've taken his dream away.
Well, you can't let the horse that's all doped up running the race.
It's a picogram.
You didn't even know a picogram was a word until about 20 minutes ago.
I just think this is wrong.
Apparently 1/1,000,000,000th of a gram, they say.
I mean, look, you got to think about this.
Uh-huh.
Look at what's happened to Sammy Sosa since the Cubs disowned him and Major League Baseball's just disregarded him. Dude has lost it. Are you really willing to take the chance with Medina Spirit?
Jose Canseco. We'll have a tie-in here. Him too.
Look at Jose Canseco. That's what this horse is going to end up like.
Cheating does hurt future ratings. That is true. There's no doubt about that. If a trainer breaks the code too often, they quietly ask him to take his gig to another state.
What's the code?
not to dope your horses up, I assume.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now that we've covered that, I'll tell you about G&M Pharmacy and Tyson Drugs. G&M, 662-236-2222. They're on South Lamar in Oxford. They deliver locally in the Oxford area. They offer MedSync for your prescriptions the same day each month and take care of you so you have the medicine you need when you need it. And then with Right Way Meds, they'll individually package your medication for those who need that. That can save lives in certain circumstances as well. So again, on the square in Holly Springs with Tyson Drugs, or on South Lamar in Oxford, 662-236-2222.
I'm sorry. Blue Delta Jeans makes the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they are uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit, hand-tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi. One size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. Blue Delta's been advertising with us for the past 2 years. We've always directed you to DM them to set up a time to get measured. Now, whether you're coming to Oxford or not, you can visit BlueDeltaJeans.com to get measured by their new virtual tailor and design your very own jeans. Just for our podcast listeners, enter discount code REBELGROVE. It's all lowercase, one word, REBELGROVE, at checkout. Take 10% off your order. They're the most comfortable jeans I've ever worn, and you'll feel the same way, too, when you get yours. We're also brought to you by The Rogue. The Rogue is the host of our watch parties, which thank goodness we did one on Saturday. And Sunday we had some receipts, which has been a good thing to have. It's your destination for fine men's clothing. Their stylist hand select pieces from top designers, from work to lifestyle to nightlife. That's the perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, True Grit, and more. 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or therogue.com. And we're brought to you by Joey Erickson at Heron Gear Chevrolet. Let Joey help you find the vehicle you're looking for at a price you can afford. Choose from a full selection of new Chevrolet vehicles or get a great deal on numerous brands of reliable pre-owned vehicles. Give Joey a call or text at his cell, 662-571-2367. Tell him what you're looking for. Or stop by 1685 High Street in Jackson. Test drive that new or used vehicle that you've been wanting and let Joey earn your business. Tell him that you heard about this ad on the Oxford Exxon podcast or the Soft Verbal podcast, and with any purchased vehicle, you'll get $50 in gas, which these days is a premium, although the New York Times says there's nothing to see.
I mean, is it bad that I wish at least relatively moderately poor things on the people that are just filling all the portable tanks up in the back of their vehicles right now?
No, it's not bad that you wish bad things on them. That makes
panic is the problem, and then it causes normal humans that just need gas to have to fill up too because of the panic. But
Tate Reeves said now that this is kind of like the toilet paper thing back 14 months ago.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said that we're all going to be okay.
Because they're going to get it fixed.
Well, don't go.
Well, yeah, that's the point, right, though. No, what, like, but then once everybody panics, well, then if I do need gas, I've got to go get it. Like, the panic causes the normal person to have to buy into the panic.
Well, the panic causes you to have to say, hey, I don't really want to panic, but I might have no choice but to panic.
Or not panic, but just I need gas. Like, if all you idiots would stop, then we wouldn't have this problem.
Good news is, by July, it's going to be $8 a gallon, and nobody will be able to afford it anyway, so it's okay. I mean, seriously, I mean, if the goal is to get people to stop traveling, it might work.
I mean, I have a fairly full tank at the moment. I'm not going to go, like, top it off or anything. Yeah, the toilet paper thing, I
never understood it.
I'm curious what people have done with all the excess. I guess they're just, like, throwing it in, like, storage rooms and waiting, and
yes, you just, once you get to that,
you're good for,
you're get there.
It was one of the dumber things that's happened.
It's the dumbest panic that I've seen.
Well, yeah, that's the problem, Grant. I mean, yeah, you're on a shortage, so you can't hoard it. Like, you have to stop, but. And, like, Avery, I'm not blaming. Like, you're
no,
exactly
you gotta
right.
Do what you gotta
the
do.
Problem is because of the panic.
Yes.
The idiots panicking are causing the problem for the rest of us.
Yes.
It's not that we're panicking. It's we're going, well, if you use it all, I don't have any.
You know, if we had another pipeline.
Oh, God.
You know, from Canada down to Mexico that went through the United States that was accessible to Americans?
Just in theory.
I mean, in theory. I'm just saying if you happen to have that thought, you know what I mean? And you just theoretically, let's say you had that going, but you didn't shut it down.
Or that would help this situation?
In this right now. I mean, how good would that be? But, you know, since that was never a thing.
Just in theory.
I'm talking sheer hypotheticals.
See him this weekend, maybe. You coming off lighter for the first pick any after all this? I'm starting to get back into a rocker boat a little bit.
I'm starting to get back into, who was that high school shortstop you talked about?
Oh, come on. He better be real.
He better be. Yeah, look. I got to see what Leiter does or doesn't do this weekend. If Leiter doesn't pitch this weekend, I know there's a problem. Like, all eyes will be on Oxford on Saturday.
Yeah.
Does he pitch? What's his velocity look like? What's his command look like? I don't really care whether Ole Miss hits 1,000 home runs off of him, but what does he look like? Because if he gets scratched again, or if they go, oh, you know what, we're giving it another week, I'm like, he's hurt.
I'm trying to see any update on Leiter at all, and I'm seeing nothing. Just kind of scrolling through Twitter and different things. I see no updates.
Wait a minute. John Pearson says, I saw a woman in Oxford this afternoon filling up plastic grocery bags with gasoline. How would you do that?
Well, that seems dangerous.
Yeah, I mean,
I was told multiple people in Oxford today were filling up, yeah, like portable tanks and stuff, though, and put them in the back of their vehicles.
I think there are people that are just wired that way.
Is it just honest panic?
I think so.
Did they just freak out over any?
Yeah, it's the, you've read these stories about the people that are going to have a hard time letting the pandemic go. That normalcy is going to be hard because psychologically they embraced the panic the way that they did.
Mm-hmm. And now it's radiating out into needing gas.
Yeah, it's just you're susceptible to anything like that. They're the ones that were waiting in line at 3 o'clock in the morning to get more toilet paper than they would need for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. This weekend's worth watching. You get good baseball, both teams. I mean, I hope Leiter throws, and the Casey Leiter will be really fun on Saturday. If Jack's healthy.
Sure, of course.
I mean, Friday's going to be a tall order. It just is what it is. But it was going to be a tall order anyway.
It's kind of a no-lose for Derek. Just
give it a shot, see what happens.
Go let it fly, bud.
But, I mean, Ole Miss, frankly, is probably favored on Sunday. Vanderbilt's got a Game 3 issue. They don't have – their pitching is weird after those two. So, yeah, I mean, people astound me. Yeah, I have not seen videos. It probably is the people who buy the bread and milk for the snowflake. That probably is the same gene.
Well, that's the one I don't get. Like,
you're not buying non-perishable items.
Now, this past winter, when they said, hey, look,
one was pretty severe.
This bad boy could be a 7 to 10 day thing. Okay. Go load up. But when they tell you, hey, there's a 35% chance.
On Tuesday, you might not be able to go to the grocery.
Yeah, or Tuesday morning, you might not be able to get there until 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, what psychologically goes off that they go, if I can't go Tuesday morning, I'm going to die.
Yeah, that's what I don't
get. So I've
got
to go get 8 gallons of milk because Tuesday morning is off.
Well, that milk's going to spoil you. And look, even if you think you're going to be snowed in for a week, how much milk are you going to have? It's a perishable item. It spoils. I mean, what are the odds that you're going to get snowed in for a month? So even at worst, you need a week's worth of milk. How much milk do you freaking drink?
Get one loaf of bread.
I mean, I get a couple of loaves of bread, but I mean, are you just having 4 sandwiches a day, 3 meals a day? What are you doing?
It's still illegal in New Jersey to pump your own gas.
Is that right? That's Oregon's that way too, right?
I think that's right. When's the last time you went to a full-service gas station? I mean, it's been years.
I don't recall.
There was one in Amory until probably it might be gone longer, still be there, but that I remember from maybe like 5 to 8 years ago. But
seems like there was one in Mountain Brook.
You pull up and the guy's like, how much? And the whole.
Yeah.
To me, that's almost awkward now, though. I'll just do it. Like, I'm good.
But in Mountain Brook, you pay someone to pay someone to go get your gas.
Hold on. Whoa, what?
I'm kidding.
No, you're being okay. Yeah. Sorry. I mean, I was snowed in my driveway with the ice from Sunday to Thursday, I think. I think it was 5 days.
You were pretty testy there at the end.
I wanted to go to Arlington. I was trying to get out to go to a baseball series, and I was trying to go play golf. And, like, it I got the text. It was like, hey, like, even if you can get over here, the golf courses are closed, bud. Like, and I'm like, well, shit. Like, okay, whatever. I was because I kept trying to, like, go up for a run, too. But you're running on, like, the – you can't run on it. Like, no. You're falling down and slipping. And
Gus and Rizzo and I mastered it, though. We got all out.
The place, like, kind of across the street was really good for, like, sleds and stuff. Got out by your parents' house on that big hill across right there. That was really, really good.
Oh, that would be a good hill.
Yeah, that was a great hill for, like, sledding and
stuff.
You get
some speed going on that hill.
Yeah. That was good, but I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. We're devolving a little bit in this here podcast.
We said we'd touch on it, so I'll tell you real quick. This will all be shocking. We can talk about it in more detail.
Yeah, just tease it.
Bet Online has the odds to win the 2021 SEC football championship. I'll give you one guess as to who's the favorite.
Alabama.
Okay, way to go.
All right.
They're four to five odds. You can bet $4. Is that right? You bet $5 to win four.
What's the odds?
4 to 5.
Yep, that's correct.
Georgia is next at 5 to 2, so 2.5 to 1. Texas A&M is 7.5 to 1, essentially. Florida is 10 to 1. LSU is 12 to 1. That's a bad bet. Auburn and Ole Miss are both 18 to 1 odds to win the SEC title.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri and Tennessee are both 28 to 1 odds. Kentucky is 50 to 1. Both Arkansas and Mississippi State are 66 to 1 to win the SEC title. And South Carolina is 200 to 1. And if you really want to be adventurous, put a buck on Vanderbilt. And if they win the SEC title, you're $500 in your pocket.
That still makes not mean you're wasting a dollar.
You're wasting a dollar. I mean, but sure. The bargain buys there are Auburn.
But it's the league, Ole Miss, not the division.
It's the league.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for a bargain.
It's an East team that you think can win one game.
Whew.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So, it'd be your bargain then in that scenario, if. Is Florida at 10 to 1.
Yeah, that's it.
Put $10 on the Gators, and if they win, you get $100.
Yeah. I think that's how you have to do it, though, instead of trying to gauntlet the West and then
I don't think Tennessee's winning, and they're 28 to 1.
No.
Kentucky's, to me, I'd bet on Kentucky before I bet on Tennessee, and they're 50 to 1.
They're not winning the SEC.
No.
So, yeah. We'll talk a little more about what bets might make some sense. Look at some national stuff there also as well. So appreciate Reeves Moore with his time today. Again, there with Special Orthopedic Group, three locations, including Oxford. And we will talk more baseball, football, and more tomorrow. Thanks for everybody to live stream. Be safe. Talk to you then.